when you're known, but not known by those close to your home. You can walk down the street. She's a hyper-local celebrity. It's Sam.
Oh, gosh. Remember when I was enthusiastic about life? Just remember when I used to come in, like, guns blazing, like, wow, 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 wow. It's me. Hello. Hi, it's me, Sam Hickman, and this is a podcast episode, How Novel and Innovative. This is Hyperlocal Celebrity, a podcast about my life and work as a freelance musician in the gig economy. I was at an event the other day. It was a networking event for me. It wasn't for anyone else in that room, but it was for me. And a dear sweet friend, a trusted colleague, was introducing me to someone and said to me, and I quote, "This is Sam Hickman. Sam, do you consider yourself a musician?" So I've had to live with that for many weeks now. And I'm doing well. How are you? It's been such a long time. I'm mainly just here to plug my little things and get on with it. It's so cold that I am using this as an opportunity to sit in my office, which is nicely warmed now that I've done a dress rehearsal. I'm doing Pontees. I'm the musical guest at a burlesque show on the 9th of March. It's already sold out. You can't come. And I'm only doing 20 minutes. But I was like, okay, today I'm gonna use it as like, because I'm doing a lot of reveals, because I was like, oh, I'll get to wear my reveal costume again, because I really liked that. And so I made like another couple of things to go underneath it. Anyway, so I was like, I'll do like a dress rehearsal, and I will I'll try it out, and I'll do that. And it is so cold today. I forget that every single time I have to do any sort of rehearsal, dress rehearsal for a show, usually I end up having to get completely naked, and it is always in the middle of winter. Every single time, I'm always somehow, like, in my underwear, just the bottoms, like, trying my best to stay optimistic, happy, healthy, and grounded while absolutely freezing cold. In fact, I was like, so I put on these costumes, and I was like, okay, well, I'll do, while I'm in like full hair and makeup, I might as well do, you know, promotion for the Brighton Fringe show. More on that in a minute. And so I put my phone on the little tripod, got my little light out, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I'm Sam Hickman, blah, 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 blah. And I did it. And I watch the recording back, and it just has this weird like noise behind it. It's like a static behind it. And I'm like, oh, maybe I need to turn everything off in this room. So I turn off the heater and I turn off the fan, and I do it again. And I'm like, I'm Sam Hickman. And I play the recording back, and it is, and I'm like, what is going on? And in my mind, this is what I thought. So my phone camera has been kind of, questionable, having a nice time, doing fun stuff for a good part, like 6 months now, let's say. And so I was like, in my mind, I was like, it is because this one time when I was out busking, I just dropped my phone on the ground, and it has never been the same since. So what if the solution, bearing in mind I am freezing and I have spent the better part of an hour in literally my underwear in a freezing cold house. So my solution was, what if I just threw it on the floor again? And so I did that, and I cracked my phone screen. So I'm hoping it will incentivize me to lower my screen time. And I think I'm just going to keep it like that, because I think that's more fun that way, you know? So anyway, I did the dress rehearsal. It was horrible. The base costume for the Pont de Prise show is also the base costume for the Brighton show. This is, should I start from the beginning? of this. No, no, because this is how we get in from one to the other. This is our bridge between worlds. So I was, I've essentially made a like a bunny suit, but there are many, many issues with it. First, one of the key issue being the fit. I hate the fit of this, mainly because I have to be able to sit down in it. And if you look at all of the, like going through all the, like, historical, like, footage and photos and everything, and like testimonials about, like the Playboy bunny, like the women who worked in the cocktail bars and the clubs that Playboy ran in, like, the 1960s and 70s, like, their suits were custom made. They could not sit down in them. Like, because they were just steel boning all the way from, like, from tit to taint, just full steel boning. And I cannot do that if I want to be able to sit down and comfortably play harp. And so, like, it's just, like, really the fit of these, of this, like, of this bodysuit is so interesting. And I have really committed to not changing it, because it just, like, yeah, I just wanted to be able to do the little job. But more importantly, I bought some dance tights. I went to a dance shop and I purchased dance tights for £12. I put them on under the costume and I said, this is perfection. 60 denier. This is absolutely ideal, because it has, like, it just, like, covers everything. I feel great in them. And I'm like, I've put on these dance tights. This was a couple weeks ago. Put on these dance tights, like, put the whole costume on, went to, like, I don't know, do a little, like, run through of how the songs for the 9th of March show would go. And I've done the show, blah, 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 blah. I do my 20 minutes set, like, rehearsal. And then I look down, and all along the right leg, I have little tiny holes from the rhinestone trim that I put along the entire, like, all of the bodice has these little rhinestones running down it, this little rhinestone trim, and it's just, like, destroyed these 12-pound tights. Like, the first outing, just 12 pounds down the goddamn drain in this economy. Anyway, so furious about that. But I did go and buy much, 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 much cheaper tights to do, like, research as to how I would fix this issue. I think I'm going to have to put, like, a layer of glue over the top of it and just let it dry. I just had lunch, so I'm like, everything's either coming up or going down. I don't know. Anyway, so that is a thing that will need to be solved sometime in the next 2 weeks. And then eventually we will have it absolutely down for the Brighton show on the 6th of May. Let's get into the Brighton show. Hi. Okay. So I need to clear up a couple misapprehensions. You know, I need to clear the air about this Brighton show. Because many people think that I, like, booked it. Many people think that I am doing it for a fee. Many people think that I am far more successful than I am. People need to start. This is gonna be so stupid. People need to start advocating for me. To all of their people in power that they know. I'm just gonna say it now, because I did not get booked for this. I decided, because I didn't get the Edinburgh Fringe run that I wanted. I was like, what's the next best thing? What's the nearest one? You know, what's going to be all right? And I was like, well, Brighton's a nice gay place. We'll find a nice audience there. That'll be good. I'll get out of this fucking town. I am so frustrated about living in this goddamn city. I'm not going to lie. It is hell. It is literal hell. You want to try and do a single piece of art? Good fucking luck, babe. And so I'm kind of like, okay, if I'm going to have to literally hire a theater in order to be able to produce a show, I'm not going to do it in this city. I don't want to do it in this city. If I'm going to have to do it, I'm going to do it where I can build a bigger audience somewhere else. Like, and I think this is one of the main issues that I've just sort of faced, is, like, all of the nice organizations that have really nice facilities and good arts council funding, never want to put on a single fucking piece of work. And I've just like, I've reached my limit of how much fighting uphill I can do. What if this is like my villain origin story? What if this is the turning point for Sam Hickman, your friend whom you know and love? What if I like end up absolutely never returning to perform in Cardiff? What if I never do? That won't be true. I will always need the money here. Anyway, yeah, so I was like, okay, I gotta get out of this goddamn town. I have to get somewhere. Brighton is close enough to London without, you know, having to be London. So I'm doing that. It's going to be wildly expensive. The whole thing, top to bottom. I sold 7 tickets. Thank you. Respectable number. 7 people. That's almost a crowd. I'm not worried about it. No, I'm incredibly worried about it. So I've hired a theater for one night. It was like £420. I registered for Brighton Fringe, which was 137. I have bought some advertising. I am losing my mind. I will be slowly crawling into a hole to die. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great night. Anyway, if you know anyone who lives in Brighton, please do let them know that I'm coming, because I don't know a single soul there, but I'm hoping there's like a secret underground network of homosexuals and trans people who will be able to advocate for me to their friends with positions of power. Anyway, so that's the Brighton show. I'm excited to do it at the venue. The venue seems really nice. It seems like a good fit for me, but yeah, the reason why there was no autumn tour last year was because no organization would email me back. No one wanted to have me. I'm going to have to do what everybody else does and create a fake production company so that people think that it's not just me. Because that's like the burden of being absolutely everything all the time. Anyway, that is that. I'm still furious about being so cold, but where are we going with this? What's next? Let's move on to something more fun. Last year, I was really worried that I didn't get up to enough, like, Sam Hickman shenanigans. You know, like, I'm always getting up to something. That's one of my main traits, is that I'm, like, a little scamp who loves to do things. And this year, I was like, okay, I gotta get up to more shenanigans. I gotta do it. And so, yes, 2 days ago, some point, I was going up to the allotment, and I saw an outdoor table on the street next to a skip. And I said, that's coming home with me, because my current outdoor table was held together with pieces of laminate from my friend's floor that she had lying around. So I had to I saw my opportunity and I seized it. So on the way back from the allotment, I got this table. I thought it was a regular size table. I thought it was like a nice 6-seater table. I said, let's just like flip it upside down, put it on the bike. So like it's upside down, long lengthways, handlebars it's resting on, saddle it's resting on. We can like bungee cord it in and then, you know, walk home with it, you know, because it's halfway down. It's like halfway home already. So it's basically mine. So I did that. It took me maybe 10 to 15 minutes to get the logistics of how to get this table upside down on my bike. Like if there was another person walking by in that 10 minutes, it would have taken roughly 30 seconds to do. But because my bike loves to have the front tire, like the handlebars, the front tire of my bike are like the silliest little geese in the world. They're like a rudder that's just like trying to steer it all directions every single moment of the day. So I had to like rest it up against the curb and like try and get this bike to not only stay up, to not only stay in like a straight-ish line, but then to be able to get this table that I could just about carry onto this bike that I could then have it hold still for long enough that I could bungee cord it in place and then walk home the mile and a half with it. So I managed to do that because I'm incredibly strong and brilliant and ingenuitive. And so I'm getting like home. I'm doing it. I'm walking on the road because this thing is wide. So I'm like halfway home, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, I should probably, because I'm getting to a slightly busier neighborhood. I'm like, okay, I should probably go on the pavement now. So I go on the pavement and like, there's this guy coming towards me. There's this man coming towards me and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to avoid trees, dustbins. Like, it's bin day at the same time. It's a nightmare. Anyway, he's looking at me like I'm a lunatic, which I don't understand. And there's a dropped curb. And as soon as I go down the dropped curb, my bike flops over, like fully flops over. Table gone. Bungee cord's gone. Everything just bang on the floor. This man then walks off because he's an asshole instead of helping me, a beautiful, defenseless woman. Anyway, so I'm there for another 10 to 15 minutes trying to get this giant table back on this bicycle. The table has increased in size, not only in my mind, but also physically since I picked it up. So eventually the guy whose house that I've just flopped down in front of has to come out and help me. And he comes out at truly the ideal time because I've already got this table upside down, back on the saddle, back on the handlebars. And then the handlebars, guess what? Loosey-goosey, they've swiveled around. So I am there trying to right the handlebars with the table still staying on top while this whole bike is just being like held up by the kickstand. So this guy like comes up the perfect time and he's like, can I help you? And I'm like, straighten these handlebars, hand me that bungee cord, thank you so much. And he was like, okay, are you sure you don't need more help? I think he meant like emotionally, psychologically, like medically, but I said, no, thank you. Your help has been more than enough. Thank you so much. And then I left. But I was only two streets from home, so it was okay. Anyway, so I get it home. I open the front door. It slides in beautifully. Slides in beautifully. It is the length of my hallway. Like, this is when I come to terms with the fact that this table might be a little big. Maybe just a little bit bigger than I was expecting. So I get it through and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take it through my office doors because they're like big double doors and it'll be able to fit. And so I like bring it in lengthways through the hallway. I put it on its, put it upright to try and get it through the door. It does not fit through the door. It does not fit through the door. The legs will not come off. I can't do the thing where you like kind of pivot around the door. So you're like a little L shape and you get like the lengthways in because the stairs are in the way and it keeps getting caught on the stairs. And so eventually I'm like, well, let's just do some measurements and see if I can take it through the kitchen. So I do some measurements. The legs are 30 inches. The kitchen door is 30 and a half inches. And so I'm like, you know what? I can take off this. I can take off this door frame. And so I... And so I put it down lengthwise again and I drag it up to the door frame of the kitchen. And as I am cutting into the door frame to take off what like the little section of the door frame so that I can slide it through, I notice that the legs have screws and that I've wasted all this time. But in my mind, I'm like, sunk costs, we're doing this now. So I just take off that section of the door frame. It was like the trim bit, you know, that the door would close against, but I have a sliding door in my kitchen rather than like an actual door. So a barn door is what it's called. I have one of those instead of like an actual like closes to a door frame door. Anyway, the barn door doesn't seem to want to come off all the way. So I have to kind of like fight and negotiate my way past that with this giant table. But I do it. I managed to, with minimal crying, I need you to know there was minimal crying. I get it all the way outside. I get it all the way to the patio. It doesn't fit on my patio. It is too long for my patio. It is an 8-seater table. It is huge. And so I'm like, okay, so now here's where we are now. In case you were wondering, here's what the plan is. I'm just going to extend my patio, which is fine, which is something that I thought about doing last year when I was hosting all those brunches, and I think is fundamentally a very good idea and will be very sensible and, like, you know, a more what do you call it? A more effective use of the space, because I'm going to extend it into what is essentially a strawberry bed and a couch grass field. So it's basically weeding. It's basically free weeding. So that's where we stand now. It's like a 150-pound project. I'm going to get some more gravel, some railway sleepers, and some landscaping fabric and just knock it out at some point. 150 pounds from where, Sam? I don't know. I'm going to say this. Times are bad and things are grim. Things are so grim. Anyway, I'm having a nice time, though. I did last month, because everything is bad and times are hard. Times is hard. I did go busking in incredible cold. I need you all to know how busking at like 4 degrees Celsius was, because it was an experience that I hope to never have to repeat. It was like a week. I think I did 2 or 3 days where it was like 4 to 5 degrees centigrade. Minimal wind, except for the last day where it was high wind and it was horrible. I made a cape with a matching hat that people loved. Honestly, it wasn't too bad. It just wasn't very nice. I had to wear like my full thermals, obviously, and like a jacket and everything. I did not wear the big coat, the one big coat from the song, the titular coat, because I found out after the first day that it has absolutely no thermal properties. It is not a good coat for anything. And so I was like, I'm going to make a cape. So after the first day of freezing cold busking, I came home and I made a cape from a spare kilt that I had, and I made a little hat to go with it. And so after that, I thought it was great. I had my little prototype cape, my proto cape on my lap, to keep my lap warm. And I had my big socks on, and it was all right. It's been okay busking wise for the past couple of weeks. You know, it's no weird encounters to report. Nothing kooky. I'm just doing it, I guess. So that's where things stand. You know, that is where things stand. I think it's going to be okay, or it's not going to be okay, but either way, either way, here we are. So that this has been an episode of Hyperlocal Celebrity, I guess, with me, Sam Hickman, a woman who is coming to terms with her own mortality. No, that's not what's happening here. A woman who is struggling with her own irrelevance. Oh, that's close, actually. That's pretty close. A woman who is on new medication, and that's probably why she's feeling doubly weird. That's fun. Okay, well, I'll see you all later. Goodbye.